540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This is the CBS World News Roundup Late Edition, presented by Liberty Mutual Insurance.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. Americans are celebrating Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy today all over the country. Here's CBS's Nicole D'Antonio.
At Chicago's Parkside Academy, volunteers gathered to paint inspirational murals on the walls of the school. In the nation's capital, Vice President Kamala Harris joined students at George Washington University to assemble academic kits for young children. Philadelphia honored Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.'s legacy, ringing the Liberty Bell. The city of Houston held its annual parade. In Los Angeles, Denver, and San Antonio, residents filled the streets for marches.
There's more fallout now over the discovery of more classified materials at President Biden's home in Delaware. CBS's Skylar Henry tells us Republicans want answers about access.
The White House tells CBS News that while they keep records of who comes and goes from the White House, there are no such records at the president's personal residence.
New York Republican George Santos is taking heat over some of his campaign donors.
Among those who donated to George Santos is Andrew Intrater. He, along with his partner, donated more than $34,000. Though CBS News has learned Intrater is the CEO of a company which once had ties to a sanctioned Russian oligarch. Cheng Gao, a Chinese immigrant with ties to former President Trump, donated more than $11,000. Rocco Opitasano also donated. He was arrested off his 63-foot boat in Miami in 2019 and later pleaded guilty, found to be smuggling more than a dozen undocumented migrants from the Bahamas to Florida. Matt Piper, CBS News.
California could finally start drying out soon. Here's CBS's Steve Futterman in L.A.
By the end of the week, the rain throughout California will pretty much be all done. There is one more storm, what's called an atmospheric river, set to hit the Golden State that should begin to drop rain in the next 24 hours. Officials are issuing new warnings about potential flooding and mudslides. The series of storms has already resulted in at least 19 deaths.
A horrific discovery in Michigan, where a mother and her two young sons were found frozen to death in a wooded area in Pontiac. Oakland County Sheriff Michael Bouchard.
She believed someone was trying to kill her and that everybody was in on it. It was a conspiracy, so including the police.
Family tried to get her help, but she refused. Kyiv Mayor Vitali Klitschko is at the World Economic Forum in Davos right now to garner more support for his country in its fight against Russia.
We need to defend our citizens, civilians. Did you see what happens in Dnieper? It's terrorism. It's genocide to kill unguilty people, children, women, all people.
It's a Russian missile strike killed 40 people there this weekend. This is CBS News.
Nobody should have to pay for one-size-fits-all insurance coverage. Liberty Mutual customizes your car and home insurance so you only pay for what you need. Liberty Mutual
A progressive voice for rural Wisconsin. WAUK 540 AM. Always streaming at WAUKradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Terry Bell with this news. Democrats are speaking out against the flat tax proposal Republicans rolled out Friday. Madison State Senator Melissa Agard says it doesn't help the people in Wisconsin who need it most. Right now, the progressive tax rate goes from about 3.5% up to almost 7.7%. The flat tax proposal would make everyone's state income tax rate 3.25% by 2026. Unusually rainy weather in Wisconsin for January today. Winter driving conditions are hazardous in parts of central and northern Wisconsin thanks to freezing rain in the morning. Roads, sidewalks, and parking lots are slippery. It's probably a good idea to give yourself some extra time getting around today. In sports, the Bucks host Indiana this afternoon. Tampa Bay hosts Dallas in the NFL playoffs tonight. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
It's a new year, and because we're excited about our new and still growing Civic Media network of radio stations, it's time to do something really big. How does a $1 million advertising giveaway sound to you? Our celebration is your chance to work with Civic Media's amazing sales team, creating a radio advertising campaign promoting your business for free. Save the date. The $1 million advertising giveaway is only happening on Thursday, January 26th. Full details on our website, civicmedia.us/million.
This local musical interlude is brought to you by Max Inc. Radio. Dana Perry.
What am I fearing? Why
Listen to Max Inc. Radio every Saturday and Sunday, 6 p.m. to midnight. Download the podcast at maxincradio.com. We are local music.
You've got questions about navigating the healthcare system? Kristen Lyerly helps us find answers and discusses other issues at the intersection of healthcare and politics. Hometown Health, Thursday mornings at 7:30 on Up North News Radio.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
The Shaw 101 FM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at WAUK Radio. Native Roots Radio is an independent product and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
Check out their menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Portions of Native Roots Radio may be pre-recorded.
It's a good day to be indigenous.
Get up, stand up.
They are going to become more brutal.
Courtney Cuff, Henny Cutter,
because all the hippies were trying to be Indians anyway.
They're going to become more repressive because it's a matter of dollars and their illusionary concepts of power.
Hey, Victor.
We must live in balance with the earth.
And also with recent happenings at Wounded Knee.
I am awake.
Welcome to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Wakunja Hade. Hey, Cudahy, to all my friends and relatives in four directions. You are listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and I'm your host, Robert Pilot, and we discuss local and national Native news and events. And as you know, Ogama, Native issues are human issues, and human issues are Native issues.
And as always, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Native by Minnesota 350, MN350, a grassroots organization fighting for climate justice.
That's all right. We'll get that next time in rehearsal. Ho wa. Hey, Ogama, we got a heck of a show today. You know, we have rain here in the Twin Cities, and it's supposed to start snowing. And I hate to always talk about the weather, but it's always, I don't know. Tuesdays I usually go to Black River Falls, and I just haven't lately because the weather's been so terrible.
You know, the weather has been unusual for this time of year. I think for a lot of us are feeling a little bit weird about it and also a little bit frustrated because the road conditions have not been great in much of the north and midwest of the United States, as well as the East Coast. What was it, just a couple of weeks ago, we had a snowstorm that covered like 75% of the continental United States. Is that right?
Yeah, exactly. Hey, before I get to your news, I just want to wish everybody out there a happy Martin Luther King Day. And Ogama, I have a whole bunch of trivia if our guests don't show up today, so we could like really jam pack it. And it's really interesting, too, because it's fun trivia, but it's really pretty dark, too, because of like states that haven't and did. And it was interesting. There's some states that the only way that they would have Martin Luther King Day is either at the same day or another day have a Confederate Day. So it's totally bizarre. But if we have time today, I have some seven fun facts we got from Warrior Woman on that they've posted, and I'd like to share those if we have time. But if we don't, I'm okay with that, other than just saying happy Martin Luther King Day, and the people that aren't working, just have a great day. And, you know, I just have to say, too, before we jump into your news, Ogama, I talk to people, and, you know, it kind of makes sense to me. They like our show because we're all mellow here, and pretty much the shows are pretty revved up that come on before us, like Matt and the people in Madison there, the people that Devil's Advocate, they're pretty fired up, and we're all like, I'm talking slow, you know, I'm a slow talker, and I know you're a little faster, but I thought we're kind of a good little difference than the hardcore political talk. We're kind of like slow and talking. But hey, without any further ado, Ogama, let's get you with the news before I put people to sleep out there.
Hey, absolutely, bonjour, everyone. This is Ogama Ganuakwe. I am from the Red Lake Nation in northern Minnesota. I live in central Minnesota. My name means strong golden eagle woman, and I have some news here for you on Native Roots Radio. I just want to say to what you said, Robert, too, is that we may be a little bit calmer, we may talk a little bit slower, but we are no less strong when it comes to the issues and the events and things that we're talking about. We're here to uplift what's happening in Indian country locally and nationally. So if you have something that you want to send us, don't be a stranger. Don't hesitate to reach out to Native Roots Radio on social media and ask if there's something you want us to cover, something that's important to you or your organization that you would like us to interview you on. Make sure to reach out to us. Today, the first thing I want to talk about is something that is near and dear to my heart, which is storytelling. Winter Legends, as told by Mary Moose and Joe Sutherland, are happening this Wednesday and Thursday, January 18th and 19th from 5 to 8 p.m. It's going to be at Drum Hall at the White Earth Tribal and Community College. That's at 2250 Monoman College Road. It's a free gathering and open to the community. Food will be provided. If you can, always bring a feast bundle when there is food provided so you don't have to use those plastic forks and plastic plates. But obviously, if it's storytelling and we know those things are sacred, it's not likely to be an online event. But again, that's Wednesday and Thursday, January 18th and 19th from 5 to 8 p.m. at Drum Hall at the White Earth Tribal and Community College. Winter Legends with Mary Moose and Joe Sutherland. Pretty excited to hear about that, but unfortunately I won't be able to go to that one because I will be here on the air with all of you. So deeply saddened about that. Another event I wanted to talk about, too, is related to one of our guests we're going to have on today. We're going to have on the Res reporter, Rob Fairbanks, and he's going to be joining Trish Cook and Johnny R. live at the legendary Parkway Theater in Minneapolis on January 28th at 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 6:30, 7:30 p.m. is the show. You can buy tickets in advance for $14 or $19 at the door. It's an all-ages show, and they do ask if you can to Facebook RSVP so that they know that you're coming, so that they have a good idea of what's going on. Indian Way Comedy is an all-Ojibwe comedy trio consisting of Johnny the Ojibwe Outlaw Roberts, Trish Cook, and Rob the Res Reporter Fairbanks, and we're going to have him on a little bit later today, and maybe if we do a little bit more reaching out, we can get Trish Cook and Johnny Roberts on a little bit later. But pretty excited to have them on and talk about Native humor. Native humor has been a really great way to break into media and into television as well. Another event that's happening out of Madeline Island in Wisconsin, Saturday, February 11th, starting at 10 a.m., is the Intertribal Snow Snake Festival. There's going to be an MC warming tent, food and warming drinks at St. John's Church. There'll be an outside lakeside fire, on-site registration. If you want to register and find a way to the island itself, call the Madeline Island Ferry at 715-747-2051 or take the ice road from the Bayfield Ferry Landing to La Pointe. Once you get there, I'm sure if you're going to go snow snaking, you'll run into somebody there, but getting there is half of the fun. Wanted to touch base too on some other news is that the first Native American composer to win the Pulitzer Prize on his experimental process happened this week, which is so exciting. It just happened, I guess, at the end of last year. It's Raven Chacon was the first Native American composer to win the Pulitzer Prize. And it's really brought new attention to the composer now for his experimental sounds and exploration in a place in history. So that is so exciting to have a Native American composer do this. And Chacon is a member of the Navajo Nation and spent most of his early years in on the reservation, Northeast Arizona. So we're excited about our relatives for that. And then wanted to give a shout out to Robert Desjarlais, who wrote an article some time back in 2020 called My Native American Drew the Land O'Lakes Maiden. She was never a stereotype. He wrote the article because he did do the Land O'Lakes Maiden, and the request was just that it's going to be republished, and they're going to be republishing it with a new title of They Got Rid of the Indian and Kept the Land. So shout out to you, Robert DeJarlais, for that article.
Ogama, I think his father did the original.
Oh yeah, yeah. His father did the original one, and then he wrote the article on how it was not a stereotype, how it was a Native made thing, and you know it's really interesting when you come across these types of artwork and things like that where Native people have made it, but on the surface it can kind of seem like it's something that that was appropriated, you know. Oh, and then one more shout out to Robert before I run out of time. Ruben Quito Stately was able to perform at the governor's inauguration party at U.S. Bank Stadium. Quito Stately goes by Quito. He's an indigenous rapper and has been pretty involved and been on the show several times, and really grateful and excited he got to play that too.
Right on. Hey, Ogama, we got the lieutenant governor on first, and then giving us an update, and then we have the Res Reporter, which I'm really excited about. You're listening to Nate. Well, I'm excited about the Lieutenant Governor, too. But, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this long and short break. Ho-wah!
If the statistics say that 1 in 3 Native women and 1 in 6 Native men have experienced sexual assault in their lifetime, it means our whole community is affected by sexual violence. 1 is too many. Don't stand by. Stand up. Don't engage in acts of sexual violence and shut down the dirty jokes, the gossip, the victim blaming and shaming. As a community, we can change the way we respond. Contact the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition to attend a workshop to learn more.
Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of 5 $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
This is Leonard Peltier. I am in Coleman 1 U.S. Penitentiary, and I'm listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, everybody. This portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, Ogama, we got the Res Reporter up next, but I just want to give a quick shout out to the Lieutenant Governor, who is graciously enough going to be giving us updates a couple times a month, what's going on. And we have the first one, and let's take a listen. Hoo-wah.
Buju, this is Lieutenant Governor Peggy Flanagan, and I'm joining Native Roots Radio with an update from the Walz Flanagan administration. It was an absolute honor of a lifetime to be sworn in for a second term with my friend and favorite co-worker, Governor Tim Walz. Our inauguration was really incredible. Our ceremony was the first in Minnesota history to feature honor guards from all 11 tribal nations. I was also honored to join the first ever round dance in the Capitol Rotunda on the first day of the legislative session. We celebrated the members of our amazing Native caucus, and I literally felt the energy shift in that space from the drum and the dancing. It's a new day here in Minnesota. It was a powerful way to start our second term in a good way. Governor Walz and I are committed to building strong government-to-government relationships with the 11 tribal nations that share geography with Minnesota. And so to that end, we worked in partnership with tribes to codify tribal consultation and law. We established a tribal state relations office that's housed in the governor's office, led by our executive director, Patina Park. And we work to fund Indigenous education for all, because every student deserves to see themselves reflected in their classroom, and every student deserves to learn Minnesota's full history. And while it shouldn't take an Ojibwe woman in office to do better by our 11 sovereign tribal nations and our urban native communities, I'm incredibly proud that a significant part of mine and the governor's legacy is building a lasting infrastructure to keep doing it right, long after we leave office. So as we begin the 2023 legislative session, we're leading with a vision of making Minnesota the best state in the nation to raise a family, no matter your background or your zip code. So that means historic investments in education, universal school meals, paid family and medical leave, mental health resources, affordable housing, and so much more. And we're already seeing legislation move towards the governor's desk. Last Thursday, he signed a tax conformity bill, which will provide some relief for Minnesotans with student loans and our small businesses and live entertainment venues that were hit hard during the pandemic. Over the next 2 weeks, the governor and I will roll out our 2023 budget. We'll include proposals centered around children and families, education, health and safety, protecting our earth and our water, expanding economic opportunity, cutting taxes for the middle and lower class Minnesotans, and lowering costs for Minnesotans across the board. We have a historic opportunity to accomplish a lot for Minnesota this year, and a lot more is in store from our administration, and we'll be excited to tell you all about it. Talk to you soon. Jimmy Gwetch, Pina Gigi, and back to you.
Wow, thanks a lot. Wow, she said Pina Gigi. That was awesome. We had the lieutenant governor on there. We just we had Rob on for a second there, and he disappeared, and I don't know if that's part of his act as comedian,
kind of. He might have frozen and jumped out again, because I think he's popping back in backstage now.
Hey, Rob, what's going on? The Res Reporter, ho-wa. Can you hear us?
How's it going?
It's going pretty good. You're in and out right now. Let me tell you, I'm getting messages on my phone. All these fans of you, Daniel D., who I work with as a legislator of Ho-Chunk Nation, wants to say a big shout out to you. Danielle from the auntie section, she said. So, ho-wa.
Awesome.
Can you hear us? Rob, we can't hear you too well. His lips are moving, though.
Oh, we can hear you, but you're not coming through.
Try and come back and leave and come back.
Yeah, you might have to try to leave and come back to... Yeah, there we go.
Well, I don't know, Ogma. Do you have any jokes or to tell? I want to say this in all seriousness. Rob, if you can... Let's try and get Rob on here again. Rob, can you say something? Rob.
Well, you know, while we're waiting for him, I can go ahead and pop this up here about the Indian Way comedy, which I did cover a little bit in the news, but they'll be at the Historic Parkway Theater in Minneapolis in January 28th at 7:30 p.m. Doors open at 6:30. Tickets in advance are $14. I believe there are 16 at the door. It's got Johnny R., Trish Cook, and the Res Reporter, Rob Fairbanks, joining in for the Indian Way All Ojibwe comedy trio. And I'm always proud to, when I get to use the words All Ojibwe, Robert, not going to lie.
Right on. I appreciate that. And I have a couple books for you. But hey, speaking of books, I have this book here that I just read, and it's called We Had a Little Real Estate Problem. It's called The Unheralded Story of Native American in Comedy. And it really talks about the 1491ers. Well, hey, we got Rob back. Rob, can you come in, Rob? Rob, come in. Can you hear us?
I can. Hi. I can hear you. I can hear you now.
Maybe turn off your camera, because right now you're coming in and out of our atmosphere here. Maybe try and I hear Ogama typing away.
Oh, this yeah. Sorry.
Rob, maybe if you turn your camera off, we can hear your audio better. Let's try. Well, he turned everything off. But hey, back to this book here. It's a history of comedy in Native Americans. And I read this. Matter of fact, Wendy was reading this for a book club, and I read it. It's amazing. And, you know, the 1491ers, who are pretty much the people that are behind Reservation Dogs and Rutherford Falls, were in this a lot. And they did that one play that they're bringing back out that you mentioned.
Between two knees.
Yeah.
And it's just coming back. They're doing an East Coast and a West Coast tour over on the East Coast, and then over, I think, in Oregon. And I'm really hoping they might bring it back home here to the Twin Cities.
Well, we think of old school comedy. We think of Charlie Hill and who was out of Wisconsin, and he was a friend of David Letterman's. He came up in that era where all those dudes like Jay Leno were young, and he was young, and talks about him. It's a great book, and I don't have much more to say other than that. I get the book, read it. I had the audio book too, because, you know, I'm such a slow reader, Ogama, and that was awesome. I can take my little walks in the morning and listen to this book. It's just amazing. It talks about, you know, one of the things that we know, and hopefully our audience knows somewhat about. Some of the first comedians were those wild people that are still comedians that are powwow announcers.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I've been clowned a few times walking into a powwow ring by the announcers.
Oh, yeah. Or you hear him just crack a joke about something random. You know, you really got to listen to that powwow MC. Otherwise, you'll miss what's happening on the joke. I can't count the number of times where the ring got quiet for a second, and all of a sudden you hear the MC make a joke, and nobody else is laughing because only a couple of you caught it, you know?
Well, and then they were saying the first comedians were the people in the Buffalo Bills Wild West. And we've talked about a lot of times the powwows coming from then that too, because powwows they have spiritual elements, but they're not a spiritual gathering, so to speak. They're open to the public and, things like that, Ogama. It's crazy. We have Dr. Stately coming on in the next segment here, and hopefully we can get Rob back on tomorrow or the next day. One of the things, too, we're going to have Shannon Housley on tomorrow, too, and she's...
She's exciting.
And she's a big shot in Wisconsin, too, so it'll be good for our Wisconsin listeners to hear this great leader. I just want to back up to, was really good to hear from Peggy Flanagan. We really appreciate her updates and her excitement to be on the show.
Yeah, you know, the Lieutenant Governor was kind enough to send us that update from the legislative session and talking about the inauguration, which we did talk a little bit about, and we promoted that round dance that happened in the Capitol Rotunda. But you know, it is really something special when you have that representation in your government. Here in Minnesota, we're really blessed for that. And, you know, just as somebody that's lived in the state of Minnesota my whole life, I'm a member of the Red Lake Nation, but I also reside here in Minnesota. And, you know, as a person who's a member of a family, I'm excited, and who's raising a family, I'm excited by what you said about making Minnesota the best place in the nation to raise a family. That is an exciting piece of news, too.
Hey, I also got a message today from Heather and Heather Keeler, representative, and there's a hearing on her Indigenous Peoples Day bill tomorrow in education policy at 3 p.m. So we're excited to hear about what happens there, right? And I wish I could be there to support her. But, hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio, Ogama.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
CBS News Brief. Today, Americans are remembering the life and legacy of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. It's been nearly 60 years since his March on Washington and his infamous speech. Martin Luther King III honored his late father at the National Action Network's breakfast.
Have we achieved the dream? And the reality is absolutely not. We have made progress and strides.
California is getting slammed by more storms. WCBS meteorologist Craig Allen.
Heavy rain is falling from San Luis Obispo right on down through Santa Barbara, Los Angeles, Oceanside, California, San Diego being hit by some heavy rain, too.
An embattled New York Republican, George Santos, is facing more backlash. Here's CBS's Scott McFarlane.
There's already been an ethics complaint filed by some of his U.S. House colleagues, and CBS News has learned a controversial donor with ties to a Russian oligarch was one of Santos's major donors.
CBS News Brief. I'm Monica Ricks.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Muskego to Pewaukee, always streaming at waukradio.com.
For Civic Media, I'm Jane Matinier with your headlines. Access to safe abortions for women in southern Wisconsin is a little bit closer with a new clinic opening up in Rockford, Illinois. Dr. Dennis Christensen formerly provided women with health care in Milwaukee, but after Roe v. Wade was struck down by the U.S. Supreme Court, Wisconsin put into effect a pre-Civil War abortion ban, forcing the doctor to shut down his clinic here. Rockford Family Planning Center is 20 miles from the Wisconsin border and about 70 miles from Madison. Abortion remains legal in Illinois, Iowa and Minnesota. Ice fishing fans should be extra cautious this year because of the warm start to the new year. Adam Strelo, a marine conservation warden for the Wisconsin DNR, tells WISN-TV 4 inches of ice is generally safe for a person to walk on and people should never go out on the ice alone. You're listening to The Shaw, 101 FM, WAUK, 540 AM.
Women hear a lot about self-care these days. Advice on ways to relax, exercise, eat healthy, and more. Those are all great. But one of the most important self-care steps we can take is making sure we're financially secure later in life. That means saving money for retirement. It's never too late to start. And it's the kind of self-care that brings peace of mind that lasts. For small steps you can take to save for retirement, visit WeSaySaveIt.org. That's WeSaySaveIt.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
This is Pat Greitlow from Up North News Radio. On the air, online, or on demand, make it a point to catch the first word on Wisconsin news, sports, and more weekday mornings from 6 to 8 all across the stations of the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey there, fellow working class heroes. I'm Rick Smith, host of The Rick Smith Show, and we are now on the air in Waukesha, live weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw. Turn on, tune in, and help us rebuild the American dream. Check out our website at thericksmithshow.com. The Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk. Weeknights 8 to 10 p.m. right here on WAUK 540 AM, 101 FM, The Shaw.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost done. We almost did it.
We still got to get through today. But we did it. We lived to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Right here on The Shaw, 101 FM and WAUK 540 AM.
List Edina City Line. Check out their menu at greatwallrestaurant.us.
Hi, this is Representative Sharice Davids from Kansas. I'm Ho-Chunk, and you're listening to Native Roots Radio.
And we're back to Native Roots Radio Presents. I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot.
Hey, this portion of the show is brought to you by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Hey, we're here with Dr. Anthony Stately, and we haven't seen Dr. Stately in a long time, and so we were excited to have him back on. You missed Peggy's doing a report here every couple of weeks, and she reported in for us, your friend Peggy Flanagan, the Lieutenant Governor. Yeah, it's good to see you, Dr. Stately. It's been a long time for me.
You as well.
And I appreciate that message. Just as soon as I was just about getting on the plane to New York, and we were talking about a big variant in New York that was out there. Do you want to fill our audience in? Because hopefully I'm okay right now. I feel like 80%, but that's just because I'm old.
Old and jet lag, maybe, perhaps, because you were traveling. Nah. Yeah.
No. I took a little nappy.
Stayed too long at the fair kind of thing.
Yeah.
I feel like your hair got longer since I saw you last. Has it been that long? Maybe it's been at least before Christmas. I think I haven't been on since before the holiday.
Yeah, my hair was like a Dutch boy last time I saw you. And now it's grown like 8 inches since then. No.
Wow. I kind of, yeah. It's amazing what they can do with weaves these days.
Right. Yeah.
Anyway.
I need a weave up on top, though, but that's a different commercial. Maybe we can get a sponsor for me, you know.
I was going to see if I can do some, like, work in the front yard here. gotcha. Anyway, I'm happy to be back. Thank you so much for inviting me today. It's Martin Luther King Jr. observed birthday today. And, what that means is that there's no break for parents who have children who don't go to public school. That's what that means. Anyway, I'm happy to be able to be here. My kids had hockey today. Oh, it's always a great day for hockey. There is, like, I think it's fairly rapidly moving variants from moving across the United States. I think it's probably farther than the East Coast now, but they've seen it significantly much more among the East Coast, sort of like within the last few weeks after Christmas. Remember, like, I'm pretty sure that we discussed this, like, you know, back in the fall, early fall. We talked about, like, you know, how, you know, everybody, well, not everybody, but lots of people probably thought that we were out, done with the pandemic. We were kind of out of the woods, those kinds of things. You know, didn't help that our commander in chief, like, was telling people that the pandemic was over. That was a little oopsie on 60 Minutes there. But people were generally, I think, like, sort of kind of relaxing their behaviors, and that were previously helping us to stem the transmission process. I think in the first couple of years of the pandemic, not wearing masks and the such. But we talked about the convergence of these three things that were kind of coming together. Lots of kids were showing up with RSV, COVID, and also flu, seasonal flu. And how this is also something that adults were contending with. This is about a month ago. But
right.
As soon as, like, I mean, I think we kind of sort of, like, don't remember this, or I don't know if Americans just generally as a society, we have short-term memory loss, like that fish and Nemo. But we, last, 1 year ago, we had this big, huge spike in cases right after Christmas and Thanksgiving, right?
Yeah.
And the year before that was, like, the big, huge outbreak, right? So it's kind of like the evidence is fairly clear, like, when we, you know, like, when we don't take extra precautions when we're doing things like traveling for and getting together with family and, you know, going to see people we haven't seen in forever, but being in crowded planes and crowded airports and, you know, crowded get-togethers of social, you know, social celebrations and those kinds of things, when we're not a little bit more thoughtful about, like, how we do that, how long we sort of, like, expose one another. If we're showing up and we're not feeling completely well, but we're like, we have FOMO, fear of missing out. So we go to an event anyway, because we're not feeling well, but then we end up, like, transmitting something, or we end up getting something.
Right.
So it's just like, we have to start to practice, you know, and this particular variant, they don't know a whole lot about it. It's called XB11 or BX11, right? BXX1. It's a variant of Omicron. It's very, 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 very transmissible. And it's so new that we don't really know a whole lot about it. We don't know how virulent it is. I mean, we don't know how, like, you know, if it's any more, it's like the power and the strength and transmission of Omicron with, you know, the deadliness of the first sort of like, you know, outbreak. There's just a lot we don't know yet because it hasn't been around long enough for us to study it, right? So yeah. In those kinds of situations, I always think it's a good idea for us to just practice a little bit of extra caution, you know?
Yeah. I was like, you know, even before we were hit with all these viruses, I'd always get paranoid from people coughing, but I really do now. I mean, cover your mouth with the elbow, for goodness sakes, being at the airport and hearing the same person hacking over and over again. And I'm like going, oh, no, oh, no. And yeah. Like you say, if you're sick, stay home and wear a mask. Yeah. So if you do cough, it stays with you.
Yeah, you have to develop, you know, like really work on, like, you know, find your, like, go back home to your res, find your like meanest auntie, you know, that one that can just like look at you and give you like the death stare. Like, try to replicate that look whenever you're sort of by yourself and traveling, and give people like the auntie stare. Cover your mouth, for God's sake.
Right, exactly. I do that anyway. Jeez, what the
heck? It's like, it is like something that we. And like, people might also forget, like, last year we had practically no flu, the year before this year, right? In 2021, there was practically no flu at all. And this year we saw a huge amount of people getting, you know, hospitalized for the flu, hospitalized for RSV, and a few things. So just like things that we've been saying for a while now in public health. You know, get a vaccine if you can. If you're, you know, get the flu vaccine, get the COVID vaccine and the booster if you can. And you haven't gotten it, do that. You know, you're less likely to have a severe sickness and less likely to sort of end up in the hospital and or die from that disease.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No. It's okay. I was just going to say there is no vaccine for RSV yet, although they think there might be one on in a few years.
Oh, geez, that's good to know. Well, I'm double boosted, and I got my flu shot, and, I mean, I'm still careful, too. But I think there's a small percentage out there that have done like I have. I think I read like 24% of the people have been double boosted, and not even to mention the flu. You know, we were hiding so much, and now everybody's out and about. That flu's got to be running around too, if you're not. And this last flu shot was really a good flu shot, pretty right on.
Yeah, I got the flu shot and the last booster on the same day, because someone in public health said that was safe to do, so I listened to them. And I did not really get ill at all over the winter break at all, like October, November, December. I haven't really been sick.
I have
seasonal allergies, but that's kind of just with me all the time.
And that's amazing. You have two young ones there. You have a husband. You go into work where there's many people that are sick and
coming in sick. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so that's got to say something, because you've had COVID twice, haven't you?
No, I had COVID once.
Okay.
I have not gotten it again. Well, I mean, you know, like I test myself fairly, like in the first year or so, I've tested myself fairly regularly. There's actually a requirement that we get tested regularly when we're at the clinic. Right. And then this last year, if I got sick and I wasn't, like, you know, I felt a little under the weather, if my allergies seemed a little bit more severe than normal, I was like, well, maybe it's not, you know, maybe it's not the pets and the seasonal allergies. So then I had a lot of home kits. I stocked up on home kits. I had home kits galore. So I would take it. I would test them. Yeah, I would test myself fairly regularly. So, you know, I was prepared. So,
Well, knock on wood, I have not had a cold or anything in more than 3 years. But, you know, I'm one of those people that would, when I was a high school teacher, I'd come home with something and give it to Wendy, and I wouldn't be sick. I'd be a carrier. So there is that too, right?
Yep, that's true. Yeah. So that's the other thing is like to remember, like, okay, well, you might yourself might not be feeling okay. You might be feeling okay. That doesn't mean that if you live with somebody who's maybe vulnerable, who's older, who has that immune suppression, or a child, a new baby, like a fairly young one, one that's under the age of, I would say probably 3, is really, especially when RSV was hitting its height, that RSV has slowed down. We're not seeing as many hospitalizations with RSV anymore. It seems to be sort of like have not necessarily outlived its course, but it's on its tail end. But small children under the age of 3 were the most vulnerable to RSV.
Well, watching the news and listening to NPR, we've been hearing more and more cases in the hospitals filling up again, and it just was frightening, and it really made me take pause in all seriousness when we chatted over texting about the new variants really popping. Yeah.
And those are things to remember as well. Like, we might be real casual about it. I had... Over the Christmas break, one of my nephews was visiting his grandma who was over in Shakopee. And he has type 1 diabetes, and he ran out of diabetes medication, and his blood sugar got really high. So we tried.
Dr. Stately's frozen now, too. Maybe that's us. Hey, you're listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and we'll be right back after this short break. We'll be trying to get Dr. Stately back with us. Stay with us, everybody.
COVID-19 is still here. It's not too late to get your booster. Staying up to date with vaccines can help you protect yourself from getting seriously ill from COVID-19. Get your booster at the 360 Colburn Clinic, operated by St. Paul Ramsey County Public Health, for a chance to win one of 5 $500 Visa gift cards. Each week in January, a winner will be selected from eligible persons age 5 and up who got their COVID-19 booster. To learn more and schedule your appointment, visit ramseycounty.us/booster.
Hey, Olgama, I've been hearing a lot about this term, climate justice. What is that?
Climate justice is recognizing that the negative impacts of climate change don't affect all people equally. It also means transitioning from a fossil fuel-based economy to a more sustainable future. MN350 is one of the groups that's pushing for this transition to protect our futures. You can even get involved, too.
That's great, especially since I'm concerned about pipeline projects like Line 3. How can I help MN350?
Just find them on Facebook or visit mn350.org.
Minnesota has the only original wolf population in the continental United States, and 80% of Minnesotans believe the wolf should be protected. Howling for Wolves is asking Minnesotans to respect our true wildlife manager, the wolf. Their survival is critical to our ecosystems, our communities, and even our economy. As highly intelligent animals with strong social bonds, Minnesota wolves deserve to be protected and admired. Learn more at howlingforwolves.org. Let's live and let howl.
J&S Bean Factory is a native-owned, community-supported, cozy, artsy coffee shop which offers roasted on-site beans, live music, and baked goods. Relax in the beautiful outside patio. City Pages writes, voted top 10 coffee shops. Tucked into a quiet corner of St. Paul's Highland Park neighborhood, this coffee shop roasts beans on-site from the best coffee-growing countries in the world. Located at 1518 Randolph Avenue, St. Paul. The good stuff.
This portion of the show is supported by Howling for Wolves. Please join Howling for Wolves on Wolf Day, Tuesday, February 7th, 2023, at the Minnesota State Capitol. You can sign up on Howling for Wolves event page. Howling for Wolves, protecting wolves for future generations.
Howl! Welcome back to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake, and this is Robert Pilot. Hey, I'm here with Dr. Stately of Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis, and we're just discussing more COVID stuff, and I know some of you out there probably have COVID hangover, but, you know, it's a good reminder, and, like many, I have a good memory, but it's short, so it's good that we're talking about this and brought and talked about this, because it's really important to be aware out there. I mean, it's still out there. I have friends that, you know, I hear their voice is a little messed up. They took a COVID test, and guess what? They have COVID. So let's put some tobacco out and remember that this is still a scary situation, Dr. Stately.
Yeah, we're not out of the woods yet. And I think one of the things that, like, there's also a lot of, oh, I forgot to, I got knocked up with the internet earlier, but my nephew had to go to the hospital to get his blood sugar taken care of, because it was over 600, right? Mm-hmm. And he was having DKA, diabetic ketoacidosis, which is very dangerous. And they couldn't admit him to the hospital for a bit, and they also couldn't get him a bed for several hours because there was the hospital was full, the best beds were full, right, with COVID cases. And so like one of the challenges that we have to try to remember is, like, you know, there's so many things that, like, could be a little bit more manageable if we all just did our part to sort of kind of help relieve the stress and strain on the healthcare industry and things like the emergency rooms. And there's not a lot of children's beds for, like, chronic illness, like kids with diabetes, type 1 diabetes, and other kinds of disorders. Because during the pandemic, in the early part of the pandemic, initially COVID wasn't hitting children a whole lot. They weren't very vulnerable to it. There's much more vulnerability for older adults, and that older people were getting it, and they were the ones that were showing up in the hospitals. And so a lot of hospitals all across Minnesota, all across the United States, they closed down their children's wards, or, like, significantly lowered their bed footprint. And so they could accommodate more adults with COVID. The challenge is that we have a serious shortage of beds in Minnesota. We have a serious shortage of beds across the nation for children with severe health conditions. RSV stretched those beds to the limit, right? So just kind of trying to remember, like, there's a lot of challenges on the healthcare system that if we all did just a little bit more work and just a little bit more of our part to try to prevent having any more strain on that system, like, there would be a lot of people who appreciated it, probably, and everybody would be a lot less vulnerable.
Right? Well, Dr. Stately, you know, this makes me think too. How is your staff? How is the frontliners with this being the third year?
Yeah, we're going into our third year of COVID, and, you know, at least smack in the middle of it. And I am so proud of my staff, and I'm so proud of my clinic and the people. I tell everybody on the planet, anybody that will listen to me, I tell them, like, I have the best team on the planet. They're such amazing people, amazing human beings. They show up every day as best they can, even with all of the, you know, they're having the same challenges that, you know, our patients are having, our relatives are having. They're having the same challenges that everybody else is having in the context of the pandemic. They have sick relatives. They have people in the hospital. They have children who can't go to school. They have, like, you know, all the same things that everybody else has. And on top of that, they also have to show up and take care of people who are showing up with really poor health, really bad outcomes. And, you know, it's been a grind on them. It's been really tough. Yeah, I've had a lot of turnover in my clinic with some folks within, especially people on the front lines. You know, the person who is the hardest working individual in healthcare systems like mine, sometimes are the people sitting at the front desk, or the person who rims you, who takes your vitals and then puts you in the room and those kinds of things. Those people that sort of help potentiate actual healthcare. Because by the time people wait in long lines, or they have to be, you know, like, we're as human beings, we're not always the most patient human beings. And we're like, and of course, if we're in pain, or we're having struggles, or we're like afraid, we don't manage our feelings and our emotions very well. We snap, we get angry, we yell at people. We're not always our best selves in that situation. But what happens for staff is that they're experiencing that every day, 8 hours a day, 9 hours a day, 10 hours a day, sometimes with no break, that's really challenging for them.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we're working on trying to do a better job of taking care of ourselves, taking care of one another. We're bringing some consultants to help us work on, you know, our burnout, our resiliency. We're bringing in, you know, elders to smudge more and work with and talk with our staff and do, you know, try to give ourselves the same things that we give our patients and our relatives that come and visit us for healthcare, right? We try to give ourselves that same stuff. And create more opportunity for that to happen so we can be here longer and take care of
them. Sometimes that's harder because people that are in the healthcare business, whether it is the front, they're such doers and givers, and it's hard to take. And it's just the personality. Yeah. I mean, I'm the opposite, but I'm not in the healthcare business. But
I work in healthcare and I'm probably one of the worst patients ever. Like I don't like, you know, I come see with like when my arm is falling off, can you put this thing back on?
Right. Well, I'm the opposite. You know, if I have a stomach ache, I want Wendy to take me to emergency because I, you know,
oh Lord.
Yeah. I'm one of them.
Yeah. I get sick and I really don't like, you know, it's funny. I think you remember I told you, like, when I got COVID, it was like I waited till the last minute to go to the hospital. My sister's threatening to call an ambulance. She's like, you know, telling me to go in, and you know, and I'm like, and in a lot of ways, I function that way as a parent. I think I put like my kids first, you know. And
Yeah. These
are all good things. These are things that we sort of are like have sort of been taught to take care of, you know, our vulnerable ones and to take care of the people who rely on us to take care of them. So these are all things that are good for things we've been taught to do, but we also have to try to remember that we need to do a better job of taking care of ourselves. And sometimes taking care of ourselves means that we have to set some limits a little bit. And it also means that for those of us that are, you know, our service driven, who are, we're dedicated to service, like it allows us to be able to show up more consistently and more regularly. It means that we get to be here longer and be in that space longer. So if that's really what we want to do, we have to remember to reserve some of that stuff for ourselves.
Well, I sit here and I'm amazed, Dr. Stately, we got less than a minute here left in the show, that, you know, I feel like you should get some kind of medal. Everyone that had COVID before we had any vaccine, that just blows my mind away, and how relatively quickly we did get a vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, it's remarkable. As a society and also as human beings, we are much further along and in better shape than we've ever been. In some ways we're not. There's some things that we need to work on, you know, like just how to be kinder to one another would be a good thing, right? But, you know, I don't necessarily feel like I deserve a medal, but I do. I know that for myself, I respect the fact that I'm here and that I have the privilege of being here more today.
Wow. What a great way to end it. Thank you, Dr. Stately. It was Dr. Stately of Native America, the CEO of the Native American Community Clinic here in the Twin Cities in Minneapolis. You've been listening to Native Roots Radio Presents I'm Awake. And if you're listening to the show, you are part of the resistance from Chief Plenty Coops. The ground in which we stand on is sacred ground. It is the blood of our ancestors. We need to resist, divest, join a group, and run for office. Free Leonard Peltier now. See you tomorrow.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
My fine guest, Maggie Dawn, attorney at law. I thought that the laws of the United States were supposed to evolve with societal norms. The vast majority of Americans, 70% approximately, believe that Roe v. Wade should be the law of the land. So that seems exactly contrary to the way the courts are supposed to evolve with our nation.
I'll just say this. The guy in Colorado can't be forced to make a gay wedding cake, but I can be forced to make a baby. I don't know about you, but that makes no damn sense to me.
Follow the Devil's Advocates on Facebook and Twitter.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha.